Are you ready to elevate your event in Sheridan and the surrounding area? Welcome to WyoTix.com, a partnership of Sheridan Media and the Sheridan Press. WyoTix.com isn't just an online ticketing sales platform. It's your partner in bringing your event to life. We'll offer a seamless ticketing experience for your event. From festivals, concerts, community events, if you have an event that needs ticketing, WyoTix.com will connect you. Our commitment is to make your event ticketing a success. With WyoTix.com, you can harness the power of both of our platforms to make your event shine. Whether you're a business or an event organizer, let us be your guide in navigating the event ticketing landscape. Unlock the potential of your next event with WyoTix.com. Visit WyoTix.com and let's make your ticketing a huge success. WyoTix.com is a partnership of Sheridan Media and the Sheridan Press.
This public service message is presented by BHJ Property Management at 101 South Main.
Hi, I'm Lydia.
I'm Lindsay.
I'm Emmy.
We are proudly representing the Bighorn High School Theater Department.
Our team has the opportunity to travel to Indiana to compete at the National Thespian Festival in June, and we are seeking funding to help us get there.
If you are able to help, please send any donations to Bighorn High School. If you have any questions, please call 674-8190.
Thank you so much for your consideration. We are looking forward to representing the Sheridan and Bighorn communities on the national stage.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Good morning, Monday, June 2nd. And from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I'm joined by Hubon Smith, Director of Development, Ryan Koltiska. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Floyd.
Now, how's the last month been at the Hub?
You know, it's been a great month at the Hub. I've been jumping in different places, and one of the things we've been seeing is just people are out and about.
Mm-hmm.
We have had more people out at breakfast, more people at our lunches, and just there's a lot going on.
I love this time of year, and I've actually been to a couple events this past weekend down around the Colorado Laramie area, and holy cow, I think everyone was suffering from cabin fever and decided this weekend is the weekend
that we're going to go. Out.
Time to come out of the woodwork. But I mean, that's really good to see up there.
Oh yeah. And we've had lots of things going on. We've had our Hubcaps had their spring concert, the 70s Flower Power concert, and that was great and well attended. And of course they did a wonderful job. And we've had, we've been doing our new front of house manager, Ryan Legler, has been doing dinner and a show on Thursdays. And so we've had lots of different variety of musicians, like the Sudans came, they Susie Hill and Dan Hill and Dan Burgess have a group, and people are up dancing during lunch, and it just, but it's just really fun. Like there's always something going on.
That's incredible. So does this happen every Thursday or is it like a couple Thursdays a
month?
He's
been trying to get it about every Thursday, but he usually has a sign up like what's coming this week. Yeah, he's trying to get something there every Thursday.
Is he looking for entertainers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're interested in that.
I think that'd be great.
Call the front desk and ask for Ryan Legler, and they're always looking for somebody. And he's scheduling out on Thursday, so.
There you go. Make sure that you're open on Thursday, folks. Give him a call, and you could perform down at the Hub, quite possibly.
Yeah.
Now, are you seeing the influx of the boomer generation that everybody kind of warned us all about? I think 2 years ago, I think a report came out basically saying, okay, guys, we really need to get ready for this. But I don't think that was when the boomers really hit 65. I think that was much earlier. But I do believe that everyone was kind of saying, holy cow, okay, yeah, they're really showing up. As the Hub started really seeing them show up.
Yeah, you know, what we're really seeing is people are excited to be at the Hub, not because it's like a last resort. It's kind of like the first resort.
Yeah.
And so what we're seeing is some really engaged boomers. Like, they're owning programming, and they're like the Hubcaps and some of the theater and some of the classes, and like people are coming in like, how can I engage? And you know, some people, I talked to one gal who would be a boomer, and she said she was so excited to turn 60 so she could come and sign up and take advantage of everything, you know? And so we're seeing a really active boomer generation. And then, you know, when Carmen was there, when she started in 2000, I think it was 2000 when she started, the board told her, what are you going to do to get ready for the boomers? Mm-hmm. And so she basically spent her career prepping for that. And she felt like she got us here. And so we're prepared for that. And we are seeing an influx of new signups. Like, I can't remember how many we saw this past month, but there was just that moment of, oh, there's a lot of people coming here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're definitely seeing that. But it's one of those things where it's a big generation and a variety of needs, you know, and some of it is not needs as much as just they're active and they want to do stuff.
Yeah. And I think that's amazing, you know, more of an active role in classes as opposed to like a passive one.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not just going to take the class. I got one I want to teach too.
Exactly. And that's happening.
And I think that's,
and we love that.
Yeah. The skills that, and the art that are being shared right now down at the hub. Absolutely amazing. I don't know, Ryan, I don't even know if, numbers would tell us this or, but is Sheridan kind of a retirement community? Is that something that we could call Sheridan?
You know, yes, I think we can. The 29% of our population in the county is 60 plus, and that's higher than the state average and the national average. And so we are seeing people coming here. That's, you know, I don't think it feels like a retirement community. Like, you know, there's some places in Florida that you drive in and you're like, oh, this is a true retirement community. Right. Yep. But you know, but the numbers do show that we have that population. And I think that's important for us as a community to recognize, because, you know, if somebody moves here and they're 60 plus, that's, you know, 60, usually you're still active, but everybody ages, right?
Yeah.
And so when you're 70 and 80, those needs grow, you know, as you age and change. You can't do all the things you did when you first moved here when you're 60. And so I think we need to really recognize that that is a big chunk of our population. And we already see that. We serve 3,400 people a year at the hub in the, you know, from the county. And that's a pretty big number who are taking advantage of our services.
And it's interesting to really think that, just kind of exactly what you were saying, because, okay, we've got these active classes now, but as the years roll on, you know, those active classes may kind of reduce as the services to stay in home increase. So there may come a shift or in that dynamic where down at the hub, the in-home services, the at-home delivered meals may increase as we go forward, as these active individuals, these active boomers start to slow down a little bit as they hit 70, 80 years old. And I imagine that was all part of Rideout's prep to get everything ready, right?
Well, it's just recognizing the different needs of the generations. You know, I think the hope is to always have the variety. You know, there will be things for all of the people and their different levels of abilities to do. 'Cause we do have a lot of people that need the services. And then we do have a lot of people that are engaging in the more active pieces of those. So it's a variety, you know, and we're actually, it's predicted that Sheridan will continue to grow up for about the next 10 years in that population.
Oh, wow.
In the 60 plus, it's predicted that that portion of the population will continue to grow for the next 10 years. And then it's kind of predicted to level off. And I don't know where they come up with those numbers, but, you know, they're usually, or, you know, they're near.
They've been pretty right so far.
They're coming up with them somewhere. Somebody smarter than me is coming up with those numbers. And so that's still part of the thought is, you know, our services continue to be necessary. Mm-hmm. And just making sure that we're prepared for an increase.
And those discussions that are being had in kind of the team leader rooms up there at the hub, the challenges that people face as they start to age, which ones would you say are really being discussed more than others when it comes to services that are being offered by the hub? Is McMeans really saying, okay, I really want to look at a focus on this as we go forward?
Well, one of the things that we're looking at is, and part of it has to do with just where our, you know, the season we're in, and in local and state and national government, we have to start looking at some of our funding, because it's not as secure as maybe it once was. And so one of the discussions is, what are our most essential services? You know, we're not looking at cutting any services today, but if we had to, what are the ones that are most essential? And so those conversations are happening. And we look at some of them as absolutely essential. We've got our door-to-door transportation. That's why we started in 1973, was with door-to-door transportation. And we will continue to do that and fight for that, because it keeps people able to go to doctor's appointments and the grocery store. Like, they can go to their family's house. Like, they can do the things. They can still engage in their community and not be so isolated. Isolation, you have like a 30% increased risk of mortality if you're isolated. And so, like, just keeping people from being isolated is really important. And then meals is another thing that, like, is just at the very, very top of our list. Like, we will fight for this because we delivered 66,000 home-delivered meals last year.
Wow.
And when I say we, I mean a lot of volunteers delivered those.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But, you know, but that's a lot of meals, and that's a lot of people relying on that food, the nutrition that somebody comes to their house. And so there's a lot of just that piece right now. Like, how can we be strong so that these really essential services continue to happen? And like our in-home services too, like that we go into people's houses and do chores and laundry and medical, you know, medicine management, that type of stuff. That's really important to keep people in their homes and healthy. Mm-hmm. And aging well.
And, you know, I've always said, look, you know, care facilities, aging care facilities, homes like that, they have their place and their need. But I know there's a vast majority of individuals out there who would rather just age at home. But as you said, that, and I've had this conversation many, many times with the hub over the years, but it is one of those situations where you tend to do better at home than having to go to one of those facilities. So I think that's probably a mainstay program-wise for a lot of individuals out there, where they think the hub, that's what they think. These in-home services that come and make sure that I can stay here. Because if I didn't have them coming to the door helping me out, there's no way I could do it on my own. And I don't know if people realize how many of our senior citizens out there don't have family around.
It's really important. In fact, I went to a gal's house a couple weeks ago, just because sometimes as I'm in development and in the marketing part, I don't always get to hang out with our clients.
Right.
And so I just went to somebody's house the other day and just kind of asked them, like, tell me about your experience. Like, how did you get connected with the hub? Why did you get connected with the hub? And how has it helped your life or changed your life? And this was a situation where she was a really engaged member of the society, doing well, aging fine. She broke her hip.
Yeah.
And it changed everything. Doesn't have family in town. She was getting help from friends. But at some point it was too much for the friends to handle. And it got to the point where, basically she was given kind of, it was down to the, you either need to go to a nursing home or we've got to figure something out. I mean, it was getting to the point health-wise and just her ability to keep up with the work in the house. Like, she could no longer stay in her home safely. And she couldn't keep up. And so, luckily we got that referral, and the referral came and we went in, you know, our service providers, care coordinators went in and, you know, sometimes it's the simple things that keep people in their homes. Like, we went in and helped with chores, you know, cleaning. She couldn't clean anymore. She couldn't do the laundry anymore. She needed help with, you know, just some physical stuff because she's on oxygen and, you know, broke her hip and all that stuff. So she's trying to manage all that. She needed help with transportation. But we can do all those things. And so she said, yeah, the hub changed my life. I'd be in a nursing home if it wasn't for the hub. And but she's fine at home now. Like, there's no reason she can't be there. And she said, even my mental state is better now because she just feels safe and provided for. And she loves when people come over, like some of the staff that come over and help out. Like, oh, she also, it's just kind of, she wished they could come more, you know, because it provides her just that outlet there too. So
it's a social event as well.
But you just, you know, being there and talking to her, it's like what we do is really important because she's just one. I mean, we have hundreds that we work with and it's not, you know, we're not doing what, you know, I always say, like, it's not like we're doing really flashy things, but what we're doing is so essential that it's kind of, you just forget how impactful it is that somebody can still go to the doctor's appointment. You forget how impactful it is that somebody that can't navigate, you know, getting up and down the stairs anymore has somebody to help and do laundry. You know, like, it's simple stuff, but it's impactful.
Oh, it's stuff that you and I take for granted every day. Being able to stand up and walk over to the sink and do, you know, a sink load of dishes. And we think, what a pain. I can't imagine not being able to do that. And just looking at that sink and looking at something that I absolutely hated to do at one time. But thinking, I would love to just be able to get that done, you know. And then the idea of having to leave a house that you may have been in for decades at a time just because of one accident. I know it would shut my father down. He's 80 years old. He's incredibly independent. And I couldn't imagine having to do that with him. It would break me and it would break him. I know that.
And it just takes that one thing that changes.
And it could be a flash, mm-hmm. you know, a slip on the ice or something. And all of a sudden these simple things that you and I take for granted every day are no longer available. And I'm glad that the hub is out there, that they can actually, let us take this on. And you and I are going to talk a little bit more on this. I got to take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about how you can refer people in this situation to the hub and maybe get them to stay in their home as well. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to Compass Center for Families.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
So my buddy asked me what I was doing with a fork in the toaster. Experimenting, I said. Well, the same goes for you, tuning up or fixing your own 4x4 side-by-side or lawnmower. Because you won't do it, and if you do it, you'll do it wrong. Look, sticking a fork in a toaster ain't figuring anything out. And you ain't better off just doing nothing. I mean, you could just wait till it bursts into flames and really do it with flair. So don't experiment with your tune-up. Get it done right at Hando Service Center on Sheridan's Heartland Drive.
Are you excited about summer in the Bighorns, or are you worried about surviving your next wildlife encounter?
Hey you, step away from the bison.
Preparation is key. See how you'll do by taking the Wildlife Survival Quiz at SheridanMedia.com. Presented by Mystic Tree Service, Carl's Heating and AC, and Country Pet Inn.
The quiz will prepare you for encounters with wildlife from the bizarre to the seemingly harmless. Or is it?
Remember, it's all fun and games until a drugged out bear hits up your campsite. Or a shark finds its way into fresh waters.
Stay safe out there. Take the quiz so you're ready for anything. Plus, you'll have a chance to win a $200 prize from each sponsor: Carl's Heating and AC, Country Pet Inn, and Mystic Tree. Take the quiz on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com, and good luck.
The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
Habitat for Humanity is now accepting applications for our home repair program. Habitat's team of contractors can provide critical home repairs that focus on safety, warmth, and accessibility. Sheridan and Johnson County homeowners are eligible to apply and must be income verified. Seniors and veterans are highly encouraged to apply. Call 307-672-3848 or visit SheridanHabitat.org to learn more today.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with the Hub on Smith Director of Development, Ryan Koltiska. Now, we've been talking about the services at the Hub and how vital they are to individuals who want to stay in their homes. Now, Ryan, we've talked about how the Hub on Smith assists these folks in facing these challenges. What are kind of some, services that we don't talk about a lot that people can actually get from the Hub? Because there are those that we really do touch on, kind of like what you were talking about, those conversations that are being had. Here are the ones that we've got to make sure are funded going forward. Mm-hmm. What are some of the other ones that are available as of right now that people can take advantage of?
Yeah, I think it's really important to talk about them because they're all just important. They're all serving a purpose. And I give tours all the time and people are like, I didn't know you did that.
Yeah.
But they're really valuable. And, you know, a couple of those would be like our family caregiver support and our older relative caregiver support. Like, we probably all know somebody who's taking care of an older adult, whether it's a aunt, uncle, parent, whatever it is. There's a lot of people out there in this community taking care of someone, and usually it becomes difficult at some point and we need support. And so there's support groups, but there's also just resources that I always recommend people just go talk to our family caregiver care coordinator, because they might have something that could make your life so much better.
Oh, yeah.
And like the older relative caregiver group, you know, this is the opposite, where it's the grandparents, the great-grandparents taking care of grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and just the stress that that puts on in their season of life. And we have support for that. We have resources for that can really take some of the stress off. And, you know, I'm 40-something taking care of four children, and I think it's hard. I can't imagine how hard it is if you're 70 or 80 taking care of children.
Yeah.
I'm trying to keep up with those guys.
Man.
Just with all of the changes, and, you know, it's a different culture today than it was when I was growing up. And so how different is that for some of those? So that's one of those things that I always tell people, like, we all know somebody, and there's support out there for people. Our Daybreak facility, we do talk about it here. I mean, we've talked about it on Public Pulse before, but, you know, that's another piece of just that caregiving, where our Daybreak adult daycare, you know, we have a place that people can go if you need some respite as a caregiver, you know, you can send your loved one to Daybreak, and it's a safe place. It's an engaging place. We have, a lot of the comments that we get back from that is, you know, the person that they were caretaking was sitting at home all day long and really declining, and because they weren't engaging, and, you know, they had still had to work. And so,
and sure, they got family around, but they don't have any friends around.
Right. And so they were kind of just isolating again. And so, you know, just some of the time at Daybreak helps them. It has reduced some decline in some of our clients because they're engaging mentally and physically. And so they're not declining near as fast. And also provides respite. You know, so we have clients that get baths there a couple times a week, 2-3 times a week, because at some point that becomes difficult for a caregiver to do. Mm-hmm. And so we have the spa facility that's available for people to take advantage of. And so there's just so many options to relieve the stress of caregiving. And I just think it's really important for kind of more people to know about all of those things, because what we find is we hear so many times, I didn't know you did this. I wish I knew earlier.
Yeah.
And then on the opposite side, when people find out, often what happens is they come in, they talk with like Sandy, who is our intake specialist, and she'll work with them and figure out what's going on in their life and figure out some ways that we can support them. And they'll leave and be like, oh my goodness, that was easy.
Yeah.
And we had one just recently that came out and said, I have hope again, because they were so stressed taking care of a parent and they just like were completely overwhelmed, didn't know how to do it. And honestly, one of the things that gave them hope was the home delivered meals, because it was, there is family in town. They are, but they work. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to take care of a parent, and the parent's struggling because, you know, they feel like they're a burden. And like, so we have so many resources that can help people and reduce that stress. And so we just tell people, like, come in and talk to us, come in, you know, I'll give you a tour. And so you can see what we have. And which I think is important, you know, for people, like I always tell people, we're not just trying to get the word out to people over 60. I'm trying to get the word out to people my age, because, you know, my parents are aging, and, you know, when they get to the point when they're not self-sufficient, I will know what all the resources are. And I feel actually really great about that. And I know the people I will go to first. And so sometimes just knowing is great. And then referring people is really important. But like, if you are in that season, or if you know somebody that's in that season, like go and talk to Sandy, our intake specialist, and she will direct you to the resources that we have. Like, and you know, people worry about finances and all the, you know, there's just so many pieces of it. But there's quite a few resources too. Like, you're not the only person in this situation. There's resources out there, and our job is to connect people with those things so that, you know, recently we've been talking about like aging should be full of freedom and not fear. Mm-hmm. And really the hub reduces a lot of the fear in aging, because we have so many, like the staff are good at what they do. We're prepared. We have the resources, and we just need you to get connected to them so that you have that freedom, whether you're the caretaker or the person going through the aging.
And there's no obligation when you go down and take a tour and get all of these, kind of the insight on all of these different resources, on all of these different services that are available. You're not obligated to do anything. I mean, it's just great to know, here are the options I have. So, hey, I'm doing fine right now, taking care of my dad. I'm doing just fine. Okay, that is great to hear. Where do I go once I am kind of stressed mm-hmm. out? Where do I go once I do feel kind of stretched a little thin? If you've got a team behind you, it makes things so much better. And I'm glad that you talked about that, you know, people feeling like they're a burden, because that's how I would feel. Wyoming individuals, incredibly independent, and we don't want to be a burden on anybody. If you've got a team to jump in there and help alleviate some of that stress on your family, that's going to help out everybody, especially the senior or the individual having care for them. I'd rather have some, you know, a team of somebody come in than, say, my daughter have to feel like she's obligated to do so.
Right.
And we all know she'd love to do it. She's happy to do it. But it's that feeling. You know, and maybe it's something that you can't really describe. You know, you don't want to be a burden to your family. But also the resources that are available to help me pay for this stuff, because it's not all just coming out of pocket.
Right. There's, you know, we certainly offer our services in a private pay way, but there's a lot of different options for people that need services. There's what's called the Community Choice Waiver, and it's based on income. And so it can provide some of these services at a very, very, very reduced rate, depending on where you're at. Wyoming Home Services does the same thing, where they kind of fill the gap. We run that grant, and they give us grant funding to fill the gap for people that can't afford in-home services at the full price. And so what they do is they work with you to figure out what portion you can pay. And I've seen that number be very, very small, like $3 an hour.
Wow.
Like, I mean, it's approachable. It's doable for pretty much anybody. I mean, it's one of those things where we just figure out where you're at, and then we figure out what kind of the gap is, and it's incredible. So there's help out there. you know, and the way that the home meals work, it's on a suggested contribution status. So we don't, you know, if you can afford the suggested contribution, which helps us bridge the gap between the funding we get from the state and what it actually costs us, that's where we get the number for our suggested contribution for the meals. But we also say, if you can't afford that full suggested contribution, like, what can you afford? Can you afford 25 cents a meal? Can mm-hmm. you afford 50 cents a meal? Can you afford a dollar? Like, what is it that you can contribute? And we just ask that you do that.
Yeah. Meet people in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to help a heck of a lot more people that way. And if that's the goal, it's being met. Ryan, where can folks go to learn more?
Well, I suggest just walking into the front desk and saying, you know, I think I need to meet with somebody, or you can call me. You know, you can call the hub, and my extension is 128. And, you know, I'd love to just give tours. I wish I could give tours all the time, because because the biggest thing I hear after over a year in my job is, I didn't know you did that.
Yeah.
I didn't know this was here. I wish I would have known. And I hear that so often. And I just really wish I didn't hear it as much.
Yeah. Yeah.
So reach out.
Just go in there, folks. Get a tour. Once again, no obligation, but see what services, not just services, what classes and friendships and so much that can be built at the hub. Ryan, I want to thank you so much for coming in this morning, partner. It's always good to talk to you.
Thanks, Floyd.
All right. When we return, we're going to speak with Youth Incorporated. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to Compass Center for Families.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit eFirstFederal.bank, member FDIC.
Rapp Plumbing and Heating can handle any job you have, big or small. From new construction to a pesky leaking toilet, the professionals at Rapp Plumbing and Heating are here to assist you. Drippy faucet? Sure. New shower hardware? No problem. Plumbing an entire new house? For sure. Clogs that need snaked? Oh yeah. Rapp Plumbing and Heating has not met a job they can't handle. Too big a crap? Call Dan Rapp at 429-1196.
Warmer weather means it's officially roofing season, and Branded 307 is getting to work. If your home was hit by the hail last year and you haven't had your roof inspected, now is the time. Most insurance companies only allow for 1 year from the date of loss to file a claim. After that, the cost could be out of your pocket. Whether you're looking to replace your shingles or want to upgrade to an impact-resistant metal roof, visit branded307.com or call for your inspection today. Branded 307, branding one home at a time.
Oh, baby, get your Metropolitan Opera on with the final live event of the season at the Wild Theater. Don't miss Rossellini's Barber of Seville, a romantic comedy full of disguises, schemes, and unforgettable music. Broadcast live from the Met stage to the YO screen. Catch this HD screening Saturday, June 14th at 11 a.m. Tickets are available now at the YO box office or online at wildtheater.com.
Got a dream too big for the garage? Your business is growing and you need to step up your game. Synergy Shop-O-Miniums are customizable warehouse spaces designed for trades, startups, and small businesses. They are ready to scale with high ceilings, large bay doors, and owner-friendly built-ins. More than a workspace, it's a foundation for your future. Synergy Shop-O-Miniums. Own your space and build your business. Located near everything at 72 East Ridge Road. Contact Sheridan Realty Associates for a walkthrough.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, we're speaking with Youth Incorporated Board President Richard Wright and Board Member Gene
harm. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Good morning. Floyd.
All right. Now, just exactly who are Youth Incorporated?
It's a board that owns and operates two youth camps in Sheridan County, the Polson Griffith Youth Camp out about 5 miles out west of town on Big Goose Road, and the Thorn Rider Youth Camp in Story. And most people are very familiar with the Thorn Rider Youth Camp.
And when did Youth Incorporated start in Sheridan?
In 1952 is when they first started doing the camp out at on Big Goose at the Polson Griffith Camp. But then it was called the Griffith Camp. But our understanding is it started out with Bill Riedel and Rudy Loss and some other business people here in Sheridan back in the late 40s, and it was called Boys Work. And obviously it was just for boys. And then in 1952, there were some other people, other ladies, I believe, that were involved in Girl Scouts who must have met with them, encouraged them to involve girls. So that would be Mildred Briggs and Mary Fugate Lewis and Jean Kimball are the ones that we know of that were original ladies on that board. They formed Youth Incorporated then.
Now, when it comes to the idea behind it all, these gentlemen just kind of sat around and thought, we need a camp. I mean, is that what happened? That to your knowledge, I guess.
To our knowledge, unless Richard knows more about that than I do.
Actually, I think probably what happened, they were looking for youth activities in the Sheridan area, and we do serve Campbell County as well as Johnson County and Sheridan County, and they could all come free. But I think there was a big need for people that had kids in the summer to attend a camp area like that. Of course, the YMCA is one of the big users over the history of the camps. But I think probably they were looking for summer activities for kids when they're out of school, and Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, the church groups, I think they probably all got together, probably had a common vision and a common goal. And like Gene said, Rudy Loss and Bill Riedel and the board at that time were heavily involved in that, the youth activities. They were coaches in the community, and they were involved in a lot of other activities. So they saw that as a way for people to recreate, park and recreate, and use the story area, and then out on Big Goose as an outdoor community center.
And it's a very unique experience. I mean, living here in the Bighorns, and we kind of take it for granted now that, yeah, we can just have the kids go to camp for the summer. But there was a time when there just was no camps around to do that, and Youth Incorporated was formed to kind of fill that need. Am I correct?
Yes, I believe so. And we don't provide the program at these camps. As Richard said, the YMCA, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, lots of different church groups provide the program. They provide all the adult supervision, the leadership, all the equipment, the camping equipment. And then, so these camps are free for any youth organization to use.
Oh, wow.
There is now a $250 deposit that's required before they can use the camp. But it's a really great gift from the Griffiths, and Mr. Polson donated the land for the camp. And they, at first, though, it sounds like from this history we've read, they must have been using Mr. Polson's property out on Big Goose starting in 1952. And then in 1957, the property was transferred to Youth Incorporated. He just donated it to him. Wow. And the Griffiths, Rowena Griffith, was really big supporter of Girl Scouts, and they still are. The Griffith Foundation still supports Girl Scouts. But she wanted them to have a good place to camp, and they just helped with the finances to keep that, to develop it and get it going. Now there is a lodge out at Polson Griffith. It's a metal, one of the pole-type building lodges. It's not a real nice one, but it's adequate. It has a kitchen, it has bathroom, shower, and there's campsites out there. There's city water. I noticed in some of the history I read, it was a big deal because the city ran a water line out there in 1957.
Oh, wow.
And Northern Seed Company provided mosquito control. So it was considered, you know, a top-notch camp.
Absolutely. And it sounds like a lot of people came together to try and make this happen.
Now, yes.
So, Mr. Wright, when individuals kind of look at Youth Incorporated as what the board does, your board basically oversees the administration and the care of these camps and facilities, correct?
That's correct. We have I believe it's a 15-member board or 18-member board. I can't keep track, but there's a lot of board members. And if you're ever interested in serving on Youth Incorporated, please let me know or let us know. But yeah, we just, the two big projects that we've had in the last 2 years as far as maintaining things, we've replaced a lot of the seating and the in story, and of course, as you know, the fire danger is really high up at that youth camp. So we replaced all the roofs with metal roofs in the past, but each year we try to do some kind of improvements to the camp. This last year, the chapel, there's a chapel area with some really nice seating that was replaced. Ken and Courtney Watkins, we got to give them a hand. They manage the camp for us. We actually have a full-time caretaker, and Courtney's a registrar, and they live in Story. But they take reservations for both camps from those user groups. So they manage that part of it for us. But the board basically oversees the financial operations and any of the monies that come in from the two foundations, the Griffith Foundation and the Thornrider Foundation. The George Foundation has been very good about gifting us some money. We apply for some grants, and we've received some grants and opportunities to help improve and basically keep the camps in good shape, because both camps, believe it or not, I mean, it just takes a lot of work and a lot of effort to, I don't care if you're mowing the grass or fixing sprinkler heads or, Thornrider probably has 2,500 to 3,000 kids come through the camp in the summer.
Wow.
With probably 20 to 30 groups. People don't know that, but it's a very busy place. And then Polson Griffith last summer, I think it was used quite often, but there's a number of campers that go to those groups too. And Gene's got more information on that too. So,
and that's incredible. You tend to think that these organizations that are utilizing the camp like have some sort of ownership in it. You don't really think about who owns the land, who manages it, who's really behind taking care of this facility while the organization's taking care of the kids. And so I'm really glad that you reached out so we can have this conversation, because you're right. I don't think a lot of people understand that.
That's true. So many people have gone to Y Camp out at Thornrider Camp, to Camp Thunderbird, that they just assumed it belonged to the Y.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually, Liz Cassidy is on our board. She's part of running that. But it's just always been available to them. And they, because they have many, many camps, they use it a lot. But there's also... Girl Scouts use it every year, and there are several church groups that use it. The LDS is a heavy user of the Thornrider camp, and they have used Polson Griffith some too. Last summer, there was a problem that the Y had, and I don't really remember exactly what it was, but the Y used Polson Griffith camp a lot last summer, so the numbers were much higher at Polson Griffith last year than they normally are.
Oh, goodness. Their camp activities have expanded tenfold over the past couple of years. I mean, they've really gone out, gone the full 900 yards on that one, you know.
But Polson Griffiths is a great place for a day camp, for younger youth to start camping, learning how to camp and do activities. The science kids have used it. And it doesn't have the hiking trails, and it's not right next to the mountain, but it's still a really good experience. And it's been developed a lot since when I went there in 1959 and 1960, but the people that started it, were going out there in 1957 is when they started really, really using it the most. And it was really a heavily used camp, and just older kids, when I was growing up here, went out to Polson Griffith, out to Thornrider. It was not the younger kids. We all learned to camp at Polson Griffith and then went out. That was like a big step if you got to go out to Thornrider. And so
The old kid camp, right?
Yeah, right, right.
So these are being utilized.
Yes.
Very often.
Right, right. The total, last year Courtney gave us a report, and the total number of campers that we served last year was 4,699 campers, and that was 112 days of camp.
Holy goodness.
So, and like we said, the Folsom Griffith was a higher number last year. They actually had 1,031 campers out there. And this year, there's many, many open dates out at Folsom Griffith Camp. She's got, I think, about five groups registered so far.
Now, does it have to be like an organization, or can a family say, you know, we'd really love to have a camp for a family reunion? Could this be used privately?
No, it does have to be a nonprofit organization, and the nonprofit youth organizations have priority. Mm-hmm. So, say like you belong to an adult club that you'd like to, the nonprofit club that you'd like to use it, Floyd. Then you could register for it, but if, say, a youth group then comes along and they want the same days you want, then you would be bumped. The youth group would get priority.
Well, I think, you know, with the intention of the founders themselves, that's
right. That's why we did that.
That's why it was all set up. So if somebody did want to make this type of commitment and maybe take up some of those dates that you've got open, who do we need to contact?
We have a website that you can go to. It's the website is youthincwyoming.net. And if you just Google that, Youth Inc. Sheridan, Wyoming, it'll take you right to it. And then you just click on the contact button and it takes you right to the registration. But that website also tells a lot about the camps and has photographs. Gives you lots of different information. But then you're not able to register on that website. You do need to go there and fill in a form, and then that goes to Courtney Watkins, and she'll contact you. We're not techie enough, I guess, to make the registration part work.
Well, I think it's good to talk to a person in today's day and age anyway.
Yes, I think
that's probably best. That way you can kind of get those dates nailed down,
right,
and know that a youth organization doesn't need them in your place. And folks do keep in mind that if you were more of an adult organization, that if a youth organization pops in, you are going to be bumped. But I think a lot of youth organizations might be reaching out. Richard, if I wanted to join the board itself, if I wanted to volunteer my time and join this organization, because it sounds like a great place, if someone's got some administrative skills, some leadership skills, how do I do that?
You could contact any one of the board members or myself. You could contact me at you can call me on my cell at 307-751-8668. And my number is on the website as well. So my name is on there along with my Gmail. So you could contact me there, but a lot of people just through users, the different user groups that are interested over the years have volunteered their time, and it is a volunteer board. So I think Gene has been on there since the 90s or the 80s, but she's been on there quite a while. So we're always looking for new young blood to serve on the board. And that would be a great opportunity for them to serve. And it's really not, we have two annual meetings a year. We review our financial statements and we go through our numbers and see if there's any problems with the facilities or anything. Our caretakers give us a really nice registrar's report and let us know what's going on. So, yeah.
We do have committees, so subcommittees of the board who do activities in between those two board meetings. Like we're part of the public relations committee, and then I think Richard and I are both on the oversight committee for Folsom Griffith Camp. So,
so it is quite active.
Right, it can be. Yes, people can be as active as they want to be. I guess right now the public relations board has a group of guys that are really, really gung-ho to get the word out, and they're wanting, they've made a new logo and want to make t-shirts and
I think that's fantastic.
It is, it's great.
And you know, it's kind of like what Rich was saying, where it's like, get that young blood in there, and they've got that fire, yeah, and they're ready, right, to go forward. Right. I want to thank you both so much for popping in here and speaking with me this morning. I had no idea that these camps had a board behind the whole thing. So thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
And yes, thank you very much for having us.
Absolutely. All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to Compass Center for Families.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
I'm Zach Rogers, owner of 307 Wildcat Well Services. Running a business and being out in the field drilling wells doesn't leave me much time for marketing. That's where Sheridan Media came in. They built my website, handled my radio, print, and digital advertising, and turned it into a powerful marketing engine, all while I was out doing what I do best. Their work has helped me bring in multiple new customers. If you're not my competition, I highly recommend letting Sheridan Media help you find your next customer while you focus on running your business.
Lock in the powerful savings with Zero Wire products at Menards. Zero Wire is an American-owned leading manufacturer of building wire for residential, commercial, and industrial applications. Save time with Menards' convenient pre-cut lengths of wire and cable in stock for all of your indoor and outdoor projects. Hurry in now and save big money on Zero Wire at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
So my buddy asked me what I was doing with a fork in the toaster. Experimenting, I said. Well, the same goes for you tuning up or fixing your own 4x4, side-by-side, or lawnmower. Because you won't do it, and if you do do it, you'll do it wrong. Look, sticking a fork in a toaster ain't figuring anything out. And you ain't better off just doing nothing. I mean, you could just wait till it bursts into flames and really do it with flair. So don't experiment with your tune-up. Get it done right at Hando Service Center on Sheridan's Heartland Drive.
Every hour of every day, Fox News Radio is there with the latest breaking news and information you rely on.
This is a Fox News alert.
I'm Lisa Brady.
I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
With Fox News correspondents around the globe.
At the White House.
Ray Yingst in Kyiv.
On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
The news that matters most to you. The top headlines, all in one place. America is listening to Fox News Radio.
On News Talk 930 and 103.9 FM.
The following message is presented by Century 21 BHJ, 101 South Main.
Hi, my name is Becton Sillers. This is my fifth year in 4-H. Did you know that you can join 4-H with a pocket pet? What is a pocket pet, you ask? Do you have a frog, bird, hamster, bearded dragon, turtle, or guinea pig? Those are the few of many options. We'd love to invite you to join us for our project meetings, new or returner to 4-H. We welcome all of those who are interested or want to learn more. Join us at the Extension Office June 10th at 6 p.m.
Hey, I'm former New York City cab driver Jimmy Fallon, inviting you to join me weekdays from 10 to 1 on Fox Across America on AM 930 and 103.9 FM KROE.